Welcome to Sports Beat KC, the Kansas City Stars Daily Sports Podcast. It is Thursday, April 15th, and I'm Blair Kirkhoff. College basketball's never seen anything like what's happening now. With the ability to transfer without sitting out, college basketball has essentially entered a free agency period. Players can leave as they please, and other programs can recruit them all over again. So, who's taking advantage of this? Well, how about all 358 Division I programs? Kansas has lost 5 to the transfer portal, Kansas State 4, Missouri 6. As of Thursday at around 10 a.m., more than 1,700 have entered the transfer portal. That's over 30% of all Division I players and an average of nearly 4 per team. There are 2 major reasons for this. First, the pandemic has given every college athlete an additional year of eligibility, so seniors can continue to play. An example of this is Mark Smith. He just finished his senior year at Missouri and has transferred to Kansas State. But another reason is the NCAA is on the verge of allowing free transfers. It's a new rule. That is, no more sitting out a year when transferring. In many cases, the transfers we're seeing are mid-majors transferring up to a major program. A good example of this is Brandon McKissick. He played 4 seasons at UMKC and will spend his final year of eligibility at Florida. Of course, it goes the other way as well. As we learned this morning, Torrence Watson of Missouri has landed at Elon. And some are major program to major program. Missouri sent Smith to Kansas State, and the Wildcats, DeJuan Gordon, is headed to Missouri. It's almost like a trade. It's now as if recruiting season never ends. After signing high school, prep school, or junior college prospects, coaching staffs have to see who's available in the transfer portal and then even take the temperature of their own returning players. So on today's show, we talk to Mizzou coach Konzo Martin. He shares his thoughts about this new landscape. He met with reporters who regularly cover the Tigers and spent most of the conversation discussing this topic. We mentioned that the Tigers have lost 6 players. They've also picked up 3, and they're all candidates to start. And Mizzou's not finished shopping in the portal. Don't be surprised to see the program sign 1 or 2 more players who have already started their college careers. So he gets right into the topic. So let's get started with Konzo Martin. Konzo, I'm just curious about how the whole process works these days with the transfer portal. It's such a new, you know, relatively new dynamic in college basketball. There's almost 1,400 kids in the transfer portal right now. And, of course, you've been impacted both ways by this. Do you have to devote, coaches to recruit your own guys while recruiting players from other programs? Walk us through how it all works.
Well, I think the first thing, you have to be respectful when guys are in other programs. You're not recruiting those guys. Now, you might get calls from people and grassroots coaches that have coached those guys at other programs, but you're not supposed to speak with prospects when they're at their current programs unless they're going to the transfer portal. Now, as far as your own guys, it's just about relationships. I'm hopeful that we don't get to a place where you're constantly recruiting your own players. It's just genuine relationships. I mean, I guess it's simply said with my own children, I can use that. I don't necessarily say I love them every day, but they know I love them, you know, because it's still the growth and the development from a young man into a man, all those things that take place. And it's just about relationships. And I just think this is the climate we're in. I don't really think it's a bad thing. I just think the one thing that with prospects going to and from, of course, I'm hopeful the first thing you want to go somewhere and play, have an opportunity to play and be successful, play the way you want to play, all those things. But I think the thing that we have to be conscious of, and their family members and guardians, even for the young men and women for that matter, is making sure you have transferable hours that you, when you go to another location, you're not losing credit and you're still on pace to graduate and be successful. Because I think that is still, in my opinion, the most important thing.
Ben Arnett.
Konzo, every program is going through this right now. You've had 6 guys enter the portal. Did you anticipate that many departures, or does that number give you pause at all?
It doesn't bother me anyway, because you have a right to. I think with X Pinson and Torrence Watson, Ed Chang and I think Parker, who still have eligibility. Now, Drew Buggs and Mark Smith, those guys are graduates, so they have an opportunity to do what they want to do. So, I mean, my thing, I looked at those guys as graduates, and I think it's great that they have opportunities to go do other things. No, it doesn't give them anything. I think it's a great opportunity. I like the three guys we have coming into our program. I like the high school prospects we have coming into our program. So I think it's a great thing on both sides because, again, if it's a rule, then give guys the opportunity to do what they want to do. If they want to go somewhere else and play and be successful and have fun, whatever it is they're looking for, give them the right to do that. So it wasn't a problem for me at all. Not at all.
Dave Matter.
Hey, Konzo, when you add guys that played in mid-major conferences like Amari and Coleman, how do you project what their production was at that level to what it could be at the SEC? Do you have to be pretty careful with that?
Well, I mean, great question. And I think, you know, the proof is in the pudding when you're talking about Cassius and Drew Smith. I mean, two talented guys come from those levels. I mean, guys like Drew Smith never made a first or second team at Evansville. Now he's the SEC. I thought he should have been a two-time SEC first teamer. And you're talking about Cassius, who made first team. I mean, so if you can play, you can play. I've never been caught up in levels. And you're talking about these three guys come in, one from obviously K-State, so he's been at this level. And then you're talking about Amari, who averaged 17 points a game, who gets to the rim. And you talked. And the one thing we try to do a lot of as a staff, once those guys made decisions, is spend a lot of time. We're not just talking to the prospects and their grassroots coaches, but also other programs and their leads. And I think like in Mari's case and even Boogie's case, Boogie Coleman's case, they had coaches in their league call us about them. Like, those are talented players because they can score and they do what they do. When you can score the ball, you can get to the rim, you can play. And I think you take, for example, Notay at Arkansas, who goes from Jacksonville United, guy comes in at a high level score because you can score and you can get to the rim. So I think all three of those guys will help us tremendously just in their skill packs and what they bring to the table.
Andrew Kaufman.
Hey, Coach, in your opinion, why do you think we've seen 1,400-plus transfers, and do you think this trend is going to continue? Do you think we'll see even more for years to come?
I don't think you'll see more for years to come because what happens is a one-time transfer. So you have one time to transfer to go play immediately. I think it's exciting. And, again, I really don't think there's anything wrong with it. I just – my thing for each individual player, because you have the right to do it. So that you're not breaking any laws. So you have the right to do it, one. And I just say to young men, make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. You know, find a place if you want to go play and play however you want to play and do that, but still work toward whether it's your degree or getting your master's, whatever that is, work toward that. Because it's like we always say, there's life after basketball. And even though guys aren't in my program, I still want to see those young men be successful and live a prosperous life. But I'm not sure if the numbers will be at this level moving forward. Maybe every 3 or 4 years, who knows? But I don't think so because it's new for everybody. And I think even as coaches, you'll recruit differently. You recruit certain ways. I mean, some guys just simply recruit from the transfer portal because now you get experienced guys. Some guys still go to high school route. And I think with the NBA, the G League, I think there's a new overtime league for high school prospects. They make up to $100,000. So there's so many different avenues. So you really have to be careful in how you recruit and take time with it.
Mitch?
Yeah, Konzo, you kind of just touched on my next question. You know, there are teams that kind of make over their whole roster every year via the transfer portal. Is that something that you all would consider as far as an approach, or was your all's, you know, intention this offseason in kind of taking a bunch of newcomers to kind of build that new core that could hopefully be around for a few years?
Well, I think our staff did a great job with the three guys we currently have. Now, we have two scholarships available. There are guys we've honed in on, you know, a few guys. So we're excited about where we are now. And I think for us, it just every year you recruit, there's still high school guys we're recruiting. But I think what you have to do is in recruiting a high school guy, it has to work for them. I think it really has to work for them from day one. And you always have to be honest and transparent. But if you're recruiting a high school guy, he's coming into your program as a starter because that position is available. Or he's a guy that's going to give you 15, 20 plus minutes a night. If not, there's chances are you're probably losing. And I think that's so you know that going into it. But everybody does it differently. I mean, so I just think it depends on what you're looking for as a program. I think some guys will probably turn the roster 8-9 times. I mean, you think about, I just looked at this earlier. St. John's, I mean, coach got player of the year. I mean, coach got coach of the year at St. John's. He lost, you know, 8 guys transfer. I mean, and the guy does a tremendous job. So it, it, So it's obviously nothing that he did wrong. Just guys want to do something different because, I think it's more exciting than anything. And I think once the smoke clears, guys will start settling in and they'll make, you know, the best decisions before them, and coaches will make the necessary adjustments.
Eric?
Hey, Kanzi, you kind of mentioned it in my question in your previous answer, but you guys obviously have 11 guys already kind of picked out for next year. Is there any, I know you can't and won't mention specific names of whoever you'd want for 12 and 13, but, you know, are there specific guys just identity-wise that you think would help fill out your roster? And one possibility from last year was you didn't fill number 13. Is that still on the table now as well?
It's certainly on the table to not fill 13, but if we feel like we can get what we're looking for, and we've honed in on some guys. But I think more than anything, you know, you never really play 13 guys, but you also have to have enough to be able to practice effectively. So you always look at that. But if there's a 11, 12, and 13, they have to understand who they are, where they fit into the scheme of things, and you have to be transparent again with them and their growth and whatever that is. But do we plan on certainly filling 12? Yes. Yes.
Greg?
We saw that Mitchell Smith signed with an agent. I'm wondering if you've had any other conversations with the other seniors and if you're any further along in knowing what their plans are.
Yes, all three, Jeremiah, Drew, and Mitch plan to sign with agents. I think they all might be signed right now, about to sign, if I'm not mistaken. So happy for those guys. I mean, just yes, I think it's great for them. I think those guys will do very well. And I've always said, in Mitch's case, continued growth, the experience of, you know, playing international basketball, if that's where he starts. I think if he continued to stick with it, continued growth, it wouldn't shock me if you saw him playing at the highest level. It wouldn't shock me at all.
Mason?
Hey, Coach. There are a lot of changes going on right now with transfer eligibility and name, image, and likeness rules that have been brewing now for a long time and could come to fruition here pretty soon. As a coach in the midst of this landscape, what effect do you think that these changes will have on the future of college sports?
Meaning one-time transfers?
Yeah.
Name, image, and likeness. I think, you know, just being on an oversight committee, NABC, we were on the NABC call with coaches for about 2.5 hours yesterday. These are real issues because, again, you're dealing with student athletes, and oftentimes it seems as if as coaches, all we want to do is win. And that's not the case because you have a lot of coaches on those calls that are really concerned about the student athletes' welfare, well-being, and also their education to make sure they have continued success, health care after college, all those things. That really matters. And you're talking about guys that have been in it for a long time. They want to see student athletes be successful and have great opportunities. And we talk more about their well-being and welfare as opposed to the basketball piece. But we knew the transfer thing was coming in a year and a half. We knew it was coming. And it's just really how you brace yourself and prepare for it. And I think most coaches on the call really talked about even guys leaving our programs, making sure they're doing the right things, because you have to understand, in most cases, guys are fathers, husbands. So it's not as if a guy leaving our program, you don't want him to be successful. If it didn't work out here for whatever reason, you still want him to get what he's supposed to get as far as making sure you're on pace to graduate, make sure you have all these opportunities. That doesn't stop you. I don't know about everybody else. I'm not sure how you can be in a relationship with somebody over the course of time and all of a sudden just cut it off, whether it was a great one, whatever turmoil, whatever it is, but you just can't do it because, again, you still want to make sure the young men and women have the opportunities to be successful in life. So I think the name, image, and likeness, that's one I'm waiting to see how that transpires because, man, that's I don't know how you move forward, how you regulate finance. I don't know. So I'm interested to see how that works.
Hey, it's Blair. We have a special subscription offer for SportsBeat KC listeners. Unlimited digital access to the Kansas City Star's award-winning sports coverage. Sign up now for 1 year of Sports Pass for access to all the sports news, features, and columns presented on the KansasCity.com site, and it's only $30. That's a 40% savings off our regular rate. Your subscription will automatically renew after the initial term at $50 unless you tell us to cancel. Your subscription helps support the sports coverage of KansasCity.com and the Kansas City Star, and that support has never been more important. Please visit KansasCity.com/SportsBeatKC offer to get this special offer. And as always, thanks for listening.
Now, Joe, it's been a few weeks now since the end of the season for you all. I just wonder if you've had any more opportunity to reflect on it and how you think it unfolded. And I know it was a painful ending, but just some general thoughts on the season.
Well, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it with all the ups and downs and the things we went. I enjoyed the growth of our team, the growth of our program. I wish we could have gone further, but I really enjoyed it a lot. I was so excited and happy to see Drew Smith make first team. Like I said, I thought he should have did it, you know, been two-time first team. I thought Jeremiah could have been a first team. I think that little time off slowed him up a little bit. There was no doubt in my mind he was one of the top four guys when you're talking about playing a year in the league before that pause. But, man, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the growth of our guys, the team. I'm excited moving forward. We have to continue to grow and get better, and I like where we are. And it wasn't really a painful ending for me. It's what it was. That's a part of growth and learning and moving forward. I've seen pain.
Ben Arnett?
Kanzu, as you look at potentially adding more to your roster, when you look at your roster, is there anything, you know, generically speaking, that you're looking for, you feel like your group is missing right now, you'd like to add?
I would say anytime you can add scoring, if it fit what you're trying to, you always want to add that, whether it's interior or perimeter guy. But I think also interior action, activity, and that's for us, it's not necessarily a four or five. It's just a guy that can play on the interior, a physical brand, a level of toughness, experience, all those sorts of things. But scoring, no question about it. You can always add that. And I think just interior presence. And again, I don't have we're recruiting guys. So we're ranging guys from 6'6 to, you know, 6'10. So that really doesn't matter. As long as they have a skill level and level of toughness, in my opinion.
Amen.
Kanzu, what does a Deshaun Gordon bring to this team, just as far as being a wing player? What does he add?
Well, I think no question toughness. No question toughness. A desire to defend, a guy that can get a double-double on the perimeter. A guy who my college assistant coach coached him. So he coming from a program where he was taught the game, a level of toughness, how to compete, all those things. And he got all that toughness, tough stuff out of high school. So you're talking about a guy that's coming in that brings the edge to your program, which is that's something I think we need. A willingness to defend, rebound, play hard, run the floor, not afraid to challenge teammates in the right way. So all those things I like about him. Just even talking to him on the phone, he sends me videos. This guy actually put up a video of me when I was back at Tennessee. Just different stuff. So he's a guy that he wants to get better. He's studying the game. He spent a lot of time. You're watching Josh Richardson, the guy who I coach. So he's that type of guy because he want to be good. He's a guy that's spending two or three times in the gym. And, you know, Coach Weber really enjoyed him. He loved him. He cared about him. And his transition, like Coach, because I spent a lot of time talking to Coach Weber. And the one thing he said, make sure you get with the right people and the right coach. And I think that says something about Coach Weber in itself.
Mitch?
Kanzu, you'll be going from one of the most experienced teams in the country to a pretty much completely new look team. I guess what are the challenges that come along with that, and what do you kind of do during the offseason to kind of get guys to gel?
I love it. I love the challenge of it, man. Just because, again, it's just I've always enjoyed the practice, even June and July. So it's that's like, you know, Christmas to me, so to speak. You have guys on campus weightlifting, working together, having fun. But you're talking experienced guys with your transfers. These are three guys that are battle tested, that played in games, scored the ball. So you're talking about when those three transfers come in, that's experience. And if we can add one or two more to that, with our current guys already in roster, and I think it's been very beneficial for Sean Dua Gordon, who at that age, I mean, is one of the best athletes I've been around. I mean, even when I played, I mean, just 6'5", run, jump, explosive. So I think it was great for him to be here. Javon's as experienced as any wing guy in the conference. Kobe Brown continued to grow in his game. I think Jordan will continue to grow and get better. So I like the four core that we have here now. And then, you know, those high school guys coming in, they played well. They had success. Yaya's doing great with his rehab. I'm really looking forward to June. I think we're excited as a staff to get here in June. I think, you know, if we add one or two other pieces, I really like where we are.
Eric?
Kanzu, just from a recruiting perspective, is there a certain criteria that differs when you look at a prep AAU guy compared to a guy you're trying to get out of the portal?
Well, I think now, and I say this because it's the one-time transfer. In most cases, if a high school guy is coming in, and if it doesn't go right early, then in his mind, well, I can transfer. It didn't go right. You know, so you already think that. And I'm going back to my time when I went to college. There was never a thought of transferring. Just like you had to stick with it. You had to fight through it. So now, because that's normal to one-time transfers, that's not a bad thing. I can do that. So if it doesn't go right, well, I can transfer. So if you didn't have that, then you're just recruiting players. Now you're just recruiting players, but you have to be cautious of that piece because that's a real piece. I mean, think about it. I think the other thing that we have to decide at the NABC or the NCAA is like, when do you have the deadline? Initially was talked about, you know, May 1st, but because of COVID and everything that's going on, you might move it back to June or July, where that's not a set date. Well, if you move it back to July, all of a sudden you get all your guys here in June, you're working out, and all of a sudden, oh, man, that workout was tougher than I thought. Man, I'm thinking about transferring. Well, you can transfer before July hits. You know, so you have those issues right now. So I think those things need to be addressed to have that cutoff date. So, you know, just as young men and women can have the transition, just like coaches, we know our roster is set once January the 1st hit, or once this date hit, our roster is set. And I think that's important.
Joel?
Hey, Konzo, I know you haven't seen all these new guys together, but just kind of in your head, based on what you know about your personnel, do you have any projections for maybe a starting lineup or at least the roles of these new guys coming in?
I don't. I'm excited to see them. With the transfers, I think all those guys have the ability to score. They've proven that. So that part is good. They can make individual plays. They can get to the rim. I think that's important, having the ability to get to the rim. I think we'll continue to push the pace in what we do. And so that part was great in growth of our team this past season. I think the high school guys, I think Trevin Bazile and Sean Dugan will be as two good athletes as you see in this conference as far as, you know, 6'8", 6'5", guys running and jumping. Anton Brookshire, who really improved his ability to score the ball, got better and better every year. So just, you know, Caleb Brown, who's a guy, you know, some might describe as, you know, like Draymond Green, as a young Draymond Green, a guy can facilitate, make plays, do all that with good size at the point guard position, the combo position. He's one of those guys you have all over the place because he's that skilled and that intelligent. And then Yaya's as physical as any when you're talking about interior guys. So, again, it's hard to say a lineup because, again, I've seen this where you think a guy's ready, he's not. You think a guy that would be one of your better players that doesn't transpire as quickly. So, I'm just excited more than anything to get back on the floor to get started.
Dave Matter?
Konzo, does this group have enough three-point shooting right now? I mean, where do you look to for that? I know you don't have to be on the floor yet, but who can help you in that area?
Well, I think like Coleman can shoot the ball. I think if you say guys right now that shooting and shoot a lot, I think Coleman's the guy that can make shots. And I also think Anton, those are guys that you would say, okay, those guys shoot threes. Now, the other guys continue to improve the three-point. Like Javon didn't shoot a bad three-point percentage, even though that's not who Javon is. I thought his numbers were really good this year. His growth in his numbers, even free throw, field goal, and all that. So I think that's the area we'll continue to work on and get better. So I think those are the two guys right now. You say, okay, they shoot threes. That's what they do. Now, other guys can have to continue to improve and work on the game. We got to get Kobe Brown's three-point percentage up, and I think he will. He'll put the work and the time into it.
Karen?
Hi, Coach.
How you doing?
Good. Hey, what about the kid that is the one that you want to develop, maybe a redshirt freshman or something? How does it change the planning when – you know, you want depth. You can't make everybody a starter. He gets impatient, and so he wants to transfer. So does that change a coach's way of developing that depth? And, you know, the guys who would have maybe worn a red shirt so you would have depth for the future, do you have to plan differently now?
Well, that's a good question. You know, my college coach, he'd always try to reassure one or two guys just the experience of it. You know, that's something that we talk about as a staff with maybe one or two guys. Because you always want to have that conversation when you see stuff. And normally we try to have that June and July because you've had a chance to see them. You know, because sometimes you project that for guys when they're in high school and they come in and play very well. But we'll have that talk, you know, mid-June, July. And then you sit down and talk to the young men. It's what you think. Now, they can sit there and say, no, coach, I'm good. I want to play. And that's fine, too. But I think as a coach, at least for me, you owe it to them to at least talk about it. But no, that's a real issue. Yes.
Greg.
Coach, the other big change coming and maybe a return to normalcy is the idea of in-person recruiting. I'm wondering what you've – obviously everybody has had to Zoom recruit over the last year plus. I'm wondering if you see in-person recruiting changing at all once that comes back to being able to get out on the road.
I don't think so, because that is what it is. I mean, the locations, I think the dates – oftentimes may change. We might shorten it as opposed to when I first got into recruit into college game, those 10 straight days, four or five off in July, then another 10 straight days. And then it's, you know, it's been 7 days. Then it's been four, like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. So I think the days might change, but recruiting is recruiting when it's off campus. I think what COVID has taught us, we can be more efficient in our recruiting. We don't have to spend as many days out. Zoom calls has really helped with a lot of that. So you can kind of build relationships with Zoom calls before you actually get a chance to meet the young man. So that part is good. But I think, you know, financially, being fiscally responsible, I think that'll be very important, because I think Zoom calls really help you in that. So now you're not spending as many days out. Like, we have 130 days that we used to have. I'm not sure it'll be 130 days anymore, because I think we can be better than that, cut some of that down. And I think more than ever, being able to spend more time with your guys on your current campus. I think that is very important.
So interesting stuff from Missouri men's basketball coach Konzo Martin. That'll do it for today. Thanks to our SportsBeat KC production staff of Derek Donovan, Beth Welsh, Monty Davis, Jeff Rosen, Chris Fickett, and Savannah Smith. Links to stories about Missouri and the transfer portal culture in college basketball can be found in the show notes and on kansascity.com. Hey, we have another deal for you. You can subscribe to Sports Pass for 99 cents a month. That's right, 99 pennies a month. Sports Pass is the online version of the Star's sports section. You get all the stories that appear in the print editions of the Kansas City Star, plus more stories that appear only on the website. After 3 months, it auto-renews at $5.99 a month, unless you cancel. And it's always a great time to subscribe. The Royals are off to a hot start. How about taking 2 out of 3 from the Angels? Our local colleges are always making news, as we know, because of the transfer portal. And of course, it is never not Chiefs season. Got the NFL draft coming up. How do you get all this? You go to kansascity.com/sportspass2020. That's kansascity.com/sportspass2020. If you want more than just sports coverage, check out the entire Kansas City Star product. Sports news, features, commentary, and analysis, the whole thing. You get all the stories written by my talented colleagues, plus additional national news, sports, and business coverage with the e-edition. Love that e-edition. The details for all of these deals can be found at account.kansascity.com/subscribe. And if you're having trouble hunting down any of those offers, you send me an email at bkirkhoff@kcstar.com, and I will get you to the right place. So, whether it's the Sports Pass or the full subscription, you're getting and supporting the best sports and news coverage in Kansas City, and you're helping us produce programs like SportsBeat KC. Thanks for listening, and we will be back on Friday with another episode.